Welcome to The Power of Stories, a podcast by women, about women, and for women. Their voices and their stories. I am Sharon Catherine D'Agostino, a passionate advocate for the empowerment of women and girls everywhere, and the founder of sayitforward.org.
And I'm Yodit Kifle-Smith, a creative dedicated to making sure the voices and stories of women are heard. I have the privilege of working with Sharon on sayitforward.org to do just that. In this podcast, you will meet courageous women from around the world whose unique path to empowerment will leave you encouraged and inspired.
We are thrilled to have Jennifer Kayombo on our episode today, joining us from Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. Jennifer is a young woman leader who is passionate about girls and women rights. Thank you so much for being with us today, Jennifer.
I'm very happy to be here. I feel very honored to be asked to be part of this podcast. I think it's one of the platforms that make me realize whatever that I'm doing, it's been seen and appreciated. So I feel very honored and happy to be here today.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. And we do see you and we do appreciate you and the wonderful work that you do in your community. And as a matter of fact, New African Woman magazine recognized you as a woman who is pioneering to make her community a better place. Talk to us about that recognition.
I started developing my passion to work for community and create some sustainable impact when I was just 15 years of age. I was in secondary school. So I'm just coming from, I can say, a middle income family. We are not that very rich. I was raised by a single mother. She made sure I had this kind of life that I could go to school. But I was schooling in government schools. So I used to see my friends in school getting pregnant and dropping out of school. I used to see my friends get engaging with risk activities like conducting unsafe abortions, you know. So to me, it was kind of a waking up call. Like I was looking at them and feel like, what should I do to help them? Or what am I supposed to do to make sure other young girls do not face the same problem that my friends are facing? And it's where I started developing my passion to community work. So I started volunteering with this local organization. So in our school, there are these school clubs where they were initiated by NGOs, where they create a platform where young people can come and discuss our own issues. So I started going in those sessions, listening, you know, to some of our mentors. And later on, I said, let me take some leadership role. So I take a leadership role and become one of the chairperson of a certain club. It's called FEMA. They have a lot of clubs in secondary school here in Tanzania, and they create that space for young people to discuss their issues. So I take a leadership roles, and from there, it's where other people could see me, how I was leading, how I was helping my fellow young girls in school to get information and education concerning sexual reproductive health, including menstruation, how to avoid getting teenage pregnancies. And when I finished school, I started volunteering with other organizations, until when I had an opportunity to become the youth advisory panel of UNFPA. And then I started working with UNICEF Tanzania as their children champion. And then I had another opportunity. So this organization that came at our school and told us they have a program to go to villages and volunteer for their communities. They selected me to go in this region called Dodoma in a certain village called Kikombo, where we stayed there for 2 months and more. There was no phone, there is no internet. It was my very first time to stay in a place like that. And I say that journey or my staying at that village, it's changed me a lot. And from there, I dedicated myself and say, I am going to make sure whatever I'm doing, it has to make an impact and change some people's life, even if it's the one person.
So, you know, Jennifer, I'm curious, when you first started your journey, you mentioned around at the age of 15, for you to see a problem and then want to rise up to be part of the solution, what was that journey like for you, having to be kind of like a leader with your own peers?
I can say it wasn't easy at all. And remember, I was in school, and mostly in our communities, especially parents, I don't know in other countries, but in Tanzania, a young person or a young lady like me, 15 years of age or 16 or 17, is expected only to concentrate with studies and do nothing else. Like if they see you starting concentrating on extracurricular activities, they normally feel like you're going to lose focus. So when I was cheering myself and working at a very young age, leading other young girls, I remember my mom was being told, like, you need to take care of this girl. She will lose focus at school. And not only the people were telling her that, but even in my school, there are some teachers who did not understand what I was doing. I could see some of them were challenging me a lot, telling me to stop doing that. I need to have to start concentrating on my studies. I'm wasting my time. I'm using a lot of energy. It was hard. It was reaching a point I wanted to stop doing what I was doing, but whenever I remember what I have been seeing, whenever I remember what my friends have been going through, when I remember when I went to that village and the thing I saw, I was like, I will surely balance. I will surely doing the thing that I want to do, but I'll make sure that I also focus on my studies so that I don't lose any of them. So to me, it was much more focus, much more of balancing whatever that I'm doing, but also getting a supportive and encouraging words and trust from my mother. So my mother believed in me, and she always was telling me, whatever that you're doing, make sure that you also focus on your studies. I can say she was my pillar of strength.
That is wonderful, Jennifer. My mother was also one of my pillars of strength, so I appreciate you sharing that. And what do you think your mother saw in you when she was encouraging you to help other girls?
I feel like my mom trusts me so much, and to her, it is much more of do what you like, do what you love, but do it in the right way. She was not communicating it that directly, but the way she was raising me, the way she was providing me with opportunity, the way she was defending me, it was clearly sending me that message. Because I remember once, it was my second travel outside the country. I was going to South Africa to present sub-Saharan African young girls. It was a workshop prepared by WHO. I was going to provide the perspective of young women in Africa, how they see, how can we reduce HIV. And I was in the middle of school and there was no permission. But when I told my mom, she told me, I will lie to the teacher so that you could go there. So it was a very hard decision for her to make, but she could see how happy I was, because there was a lot of application, a lot of girls applied, but I was the one who was shortlisted and the final person to be told, you have been selected to go there. So she was like, this is not a missed opportunity, you have to go. So yeah, that's the kind of a mother I have, and I'm really happy to have her.
So Jennifer, you know, as you continue to kind of progress in your leadership, how is that just impacting just the way that you saw yourself, the way that you saw the world? How did you feel like you grew in that journey?
To me, I feel like this journey has taught me that I'm so very lucky, but also it has taught me that my mama did not give birth to me to just come in this world, you know, just study, eat, sleep. I have a role to play even if it means small wins, or even if it means to impact even one person's life. And it also has been an eye-opening of how can a young woman like me, coming from just a normal family, can use the challenges and problems that she's having into opportunities, and can also use those challenges and problems to help other young girls not to face the same problem. It has also taught me that as long as you're doing good, or as long as you are becoming positively and you're meaning the best on whatever that you're doing, people do see that and people do appreciate that. This journey has been teaching me to be more resilient, to be much more optimistic, and to continue making change as long as I'm alive.
What do you do to encourage yourself on a difficult day?
I always say this is not my cause, even though I'm the one doing it, but I'm also doing it for other people. So that kindly maintains me. So whenever I have a bad day, I'll just shut things off for some time and maybe watch a movie, listen to music, go to the ocean. And then I tell myself, this shall pass, and I'll continue being me and doing what I love to do.
You choose to believe in you, and your mother encourages you to believe in you. How do we encourage each other to believe in ourselves?
We need to surround ourselves with the right people, because if you get surround yourself with the right people, if you maintain your life doing the right things, reading, looking, you know, associate yourself with the right thing, posting the right thing, automatically you're attracting or you're encouraging even more good things to happen to you. But if you surround yourself with the people who continue tearing you up, who continue taking negative things, you know, but also mindset. If you're keeping on thinking on negative every day, if you're keeping on thinking, if I do this, I'll fail, I think things may never work out to you. Sometimes I normally do think that I know I'm going to fail, but I normally do it. Even though sometimes I get irritated, like, I'm going to fail, I'm going to win, I'm going to fail, I'm going to win. Deep down, I know I'm going to fail, but I'm gonna do it. And sometimes it turns out good, you know. It turns out that I win that thing, or there are certain move that I have made instead of if I could not do it at all. So just want to say we need to have discipline and we need to attract the positivity on whatever that we're doing.
So Jennifer, just, you know, this is a question that we like to ask all of our guests. How can we all encourage other women and girls to confidently use their voice and claim their power?
We need to encourage young girls and young women that they are enough, that their voice is powerful, that all is possible in life and they can be whoever that they want to be. We need to create these spaces for them, because sometimes it's hard for these people to come out and speak. It's hard for them to come out and provide their insight and inputs because they don't see an opportunity of doing that. They don't see platform to do that. Mm-hmm. Some of us, we create those platform, or we hardly find those platform. But majority of them don't. So we need to create those spaces for them. Even at home, make sure you don't create that difference in terms of this one, she speaks more, this one does not speak at all. Because even the person that does not speak, she has something to say. We really need to create some safe space for ourselves, and that starts with me and you and anyone else. Whenever you're with the person, make sure you're creating that safe space for those people to speak out. Because through them speaking, it's where you know what they're thinking, where you can advise, where you can make sure you're saying something that they can improve anything in their lives. So we need to continue creating these safe spaces. We really need to start working on mindset changing. We have been raised in a community where women have been seen as people who should be submissive, who should talk less. You can be an obedient person, but still you can speak up. You can be a humble person, but still raise your voice.
Jennifer, it's really been a joy talking with you and just hearing your journey and parts of your stories. So we just thank you for making the time to be here. As always, to our listeners, thank you for making the time to listen to this episode of the Power of Stories podcast.
And Jennifer, I am adding my sincere gratitude as well, but also for the work that you are doing to advance the rights of girls and women, not just in your community and your country, but also on a global scale. And it makes a difference. So thank you very much, Yodit. I am so grateful that we get to work together. And we also thank Lisa DeJavine, whose voice you do not hear, but who is the co-producer and editor of the Power of Stories podcast. Jennifer, big thanks.
Thank you so much, guys, for having me. And I love sessions like this because it also keep reminding me of the kind of a person I am and the kind of a person I should maintain be. Thank you so much.
And to our listeners, we invite you to visit sayitforward.org, a place where you are welcome to share one or more stories about your unique path to empowerment. Or you can read the stories of other women and girls. This is Sharon Catherine D'Agostino
and Yodit Kifle-Smith, signing off for now and hoping you'll join us for our next episode of the Power of Stories podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, we do hope you'll give us a review and recommend the Power of Stories to a friend. And lastly, we want to remind you of the power of your stories.